Hello, everyone, and welcome to Friday Food Fight, where we are defining the daily struggle to keep food safe. I am your host, Wes Christian, and each week we will be interviewing special guests from across the country who are doing amazing work in the food service industry. So sit back and enjoy this special episode brought to you by Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler. Welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host for this week, and we have got an amazing episode prepared for you and an awesome guest. And I'm actually going to turn the floor over to Mr. Bart Christian, nationally recognized school nutrition speaker, to introduce our guest for this week. So, Bart, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who we're going to be talking with?
Well, it is my honor to introduce Ms. Beth Wallace, who is the incoming president for the National School Nutrition Association. And it's just an honor to have you, Beth. I really appreciate you being here.
Well, it's certainly an honor to be here, Bart. Thank you for asking me. It's very exciting.
Well, you know, Beth, for those few people who may not know you, Beth serves as the executive director of food nutrition services in Jefferson County Public Schools in Denver, Colorado. And I know you all call it JEFCO. And I know that you've got a wide array of leadership positions that you've held both nationally and at the state level. You've served at the Colorado School Nutrition Association. You've also worked at how many other districts have you been at before JEFCO?
I've been at two other districts before I came to JEFCO.
Yeah, and I know you, like I do, you have a passion for child nutrition programs. And all the people that work in the programs. As a matter of fact, one of the things, Beth, we're doing is we're working on a little bit of a program to recognize child nutrition superheroes in the month of May. And I know that y'all are going to be doing some stuff, and I'm positive you're going to be doing some stuff in that. And your district, what do y'all got planned for that month?
So we have just come back from being remote, and so we've got all of our staff back in, and we're very short staffed right now. So we are planning a recognition of all of our staff, superhero staff that we all have. And our chef is actually making customized little cupcakes with superhero figurines on top of it to get, give some kudos to our staff.
Yeah, because I think that's one thing that we need to do nationwide is recognize they've all been under such pressure and they have been on the front lines for over a year now serving kids and you know it's kind of it can be a thankless job and I think that it's everything we can do to let them know that they are heroes and they are important not just to the kids but to us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I see that you hold a master's degree in business administration from Colorado State. You got a bachelor of science in food and service tech from Texas A&M. I actually have been in College Station several times speaking to the regional, the Texas Education Service Cooperative down there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful campus. It really is.
And I
see you like me. I've been married 36 years to the same woman. You've been married 37 years to the same guy. And you've got a couple, you got children and you've got a brand new granddaughter. I share that with you because I've got a brand new grandson and he built on top of the other grandson that we got. Those are Wesley's two children.
They're very special people, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And, I was reading your Industry Insider when you sent it out to everybody in the industry. And I got to, because the theme of this show is developing the leadership within. And you started off your industry letter with this quote from Emerson, and it says, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." And I that's kind of what we want to talk about is, where do you see the industry going and what are you doing in your district that's going to build that leadership within and that power that everybody has within that I think sometimes people feel powerless, but they're really not.
Yeah, I think our industry, as I stated, I think that we still are in for some challenges going forward. We've got our food service teams returning. Everyone will probably be in person, when we start looking at school year 21-22. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of pressure coming on us to increase our participation. And, you know, we've got things facing us like nutritional guidelines that we're all talking about right now. You know, we're expecting some key announcements for those coming forward. And, you know, we're trying to keep the morale high, just as we talked about our superheroes day. So I know this is all on everybody's mind. How are we going to do this? How are we going to transition? And, you know, how are we going to feed our kids in school year 2021-22? And, you know, I think we're just going to have to continue with patience, resourcefulness. You know, I depend on my colleagues here in Colorado to, we get together frequently. We have calls. What are you doing? How's it going in your district? Those types of things. And I think we're going to have to continue that because I don't think we're ever going to be back to normal.
No, I don't either. You know, whatever normal is, I don't think we're ever going to see it again. And, you know, you ended your thing. I want to end with this, and Wes, I'm done, is that you said, keep it simple, stay persistent, and do not give up. Buckle up, it's on. And I think that was a very, very good way to end that.
Yeah, it is. It's on, and it's time to go. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, normal is, I think it's going to be a new version. It's the future. You know, the old version, you know, I guess we leave it in the past and we see what this bright new future ahead of us has got in store.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, Beth, we've heard a little bit about your some different items on your resume and some of the different accomplishments that you've had over the years. I'd love to let people know a little bit about you on a personal level, though. And I like to kind of start things off each week with just a very broad question of just kind of getting to know maybe something that you're just really passionate or obsessed with at the moment. Or maybe it's an item in your personal life or your work career that you really feel that you just excel at and just are super passionate and enjoy doing.
Well, you know, those that know me pretty well, I'm pretty passionate about school nutrition. It's what I love. So are you asking me about my business world or are you asking me about my personal world? So, you know, there's two different things. And my business world consumes a lot of my time and passion right now. So is that what I can talk about that a little bit, you know?
Absolutely.
Right now I'm pretty passionate about, you know, two big things that we're looking at, our budgets. You know, what are we going to do with our budgets? We, not all, but a majority of our school districts have faced devastating times. You know, my district is a little unique in that you usually don't find a large school district the size we are, which are usually bigger city districts that are lower free and reduced. So Jeffco is only 30% free and reduced, and we depend heavily on our a la carte sales. So much so that that's $5.5 million of a $26 million budget. And while we talk about where we may get some relief here and this on reimbursement and that, there is never any discussion on what we do with districts like ours that depend heavily on a la carte sales. Or, you know, just what our paying students pay for our meals. So I'm very focused on how we're going to make this budget work moving forward and how we get ourselves out of what we've looked at the past few years. Many districts have completely diminished all reserve funds and have nothing left to operate on. And we've got to get back to being self-sustainable again. So we're very focused on every minute detail of our budget. And most people that know me know I'm pretty, that's always been something I have a passion about is the budget and how we make it work and making sure we're being good partners with our district. Mm-hmm. Along with that, you know, because when you're not, your district is helping to pay for your child nutrition funds. So along with that is coming the passion of our staffing. You know, our staffing, how are we going to address, you know, in Jeffco, over 100 vacancies. You know, we have over 400 plus employees, and we managed to work it through this last year with these vacancies, and it did help, you know, our budget situation. But now it's time to buckle up and go, as I said, and now we've got 100 employees to get hired and get ready for August. And we're not finding them coming out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. So we're having to really think creatively out of the box on how we're gonna get this done.
And how have the extension of waivers impacted your district over the past several months?
Well, the extensions of waivers have been extremely helpful because there's a higher reimbursement operating under the summer food service program. So we are hopeful that we get to continue with those waivers into school year 21-22. We're hoping that we hear some good news on that here in the future, but it has, you know, really been essential given that we are not getting any revenue from a la carte sales to the sustainability of our program.
Mm-hmm. And I know that as we're kind of wrapping up this school year and heading into summer, we're obviously looking at budgets and planning for this upcoming school year. And with us not really knowing exactly what to expect when school does resume in the fall, what are some things that are maybe a little unique this year as you're planning that you maybe haven't considered or taken into the equation in years past?
You know, when you think about uniqueness, I guess one thing that everyone was in this transition to more speed scratch cooking, that type of operation. And as we came in fresh foods and whatnot, and then we came into this pandemic and everything had to be prepackaged. Everything had to be, we had to, what I would call shift to sanitation, over sanitize, be sure everything is safe, whatnot. So I would say that's the uniqueness that going into next year, I think we're still going to continue to see sanitation still be a key issue with our customers. You know, we have to be sure that our students are safe and that we're following those practices. I think we'll still be looking at pre-wrapped items and focused on that aspect of our program.
You know, I mean, we've been in the sanitation business for years and been involved in the training side of educating employees as well. How is your training program in relation to sanitation and just continuing education looking to change in this upcoming year? Because obviously with sanitation being a growing topic and cleanliness, there's definitely on top of sanitation alone, the need to make sure that your employees are properly trained on how to sanitize properly. So what is your training program and kind of continuing education for your employees going to be looking like in this upcoming year?
Yeah, to be candid and honest with you, you know, some of the things that we typically have in place are, you know, our professional development that we have each year for our staff and whatnot. That's just kind of gone out the window because of the situation we were in. We are, you know, we definitely already had our SOPs in place for safety and sanitation. We would take copies of what we had in place and reiterate them, and we would send them out in paper format. We have not been able to bring 400 people together like we normally do every year for hands-on and fun type of training that we typically do. And so we will try to, again, this year, re-engage in that. What we usually have is our one-day all-employee training session where we will refocus on that. We, of course, it will be virtually. We will still be virtually doing that. Just getting 400 employees to understand how to virtually come together and have a meeting and talk is worth an all-day training in itself. Okay. that's some of the challenges of being bigger districts. You know, we had to, one, get the equipment out to them. We had to get cameras out there. We had to get headphones. We had to, you know, get things like that deployed. We had to teach staff how to log on and how to turn their speaker on and how to turn their camera on and make sure they were looking at the camera, you know, that type of thing. Those have been real great learning curves for us this year. And so now we think we've got them. So we're hoping we'll get to some more of those professional trainings that we value very much.
You know, I've done several Zoom keynotes in the last couple of, the last couple of weeks. And I found a couple of things to be very successful in those is that if you get everybody to turn their camera on so you can see them, number one, because, you know, when you're doing a presentation, if you have multiple screens, you can throw a gallery screen up on one screen so you can see people. So you can see that they're engaged, they're paying attention, they're watching. And the other thing is from a presenter perspective, it is so much more engaging to be able to see. I mean, it's not like being on a stage, don't get me wrong, but it's so much more engaging when you can see people's faces, say, hey, everybody give me a thumbs up, or, you know, give me a high five, you know, and you can engage people like that. So I think Zoom is very effective, but you got to use it right. Or Zoom, GoToMeeting, whatever you use.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen lots of districts this year get creative with training, doing virtual meetings, even planning for virtual meetings. And I agree 100%. You can definitely keep people's attention, but it can be challenging at the same time. You know, we do talk a lot on the show about difficulties overcoming changes and challenges. Maybe tell us a little bit about maybe a success over the course of this past year, just an area in which you and your team at Jeffco have really just excelled.
So, you know, I'm going to go back to the success is just watching my team transition. I mean, literally every single day, it might be a different method of serving. And they were just so successful at taking the challenge, asking, you know, how can I help? How can we do this better? And successfully, I mean, one day we might be serving outdoors. The next day we might be serving indoors. The next day we might be asked to serve out on a bus. The next day we might be told, I need three of you to go to a different location. They just moved without a blink, doing everything we ask. And I will say the highlight was the day that we actually served the number of meals that we normally serve in a given day when we weren't in the middle of COVID. When we hit that number, we were all cheering over here because participation had dropped so low. And when we saw it come back to that level that we know we should be at, I mean, there were cheers across the district. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, with that kind of create, I mean, you mentioned several different ways that you've been serving meals over the past several months. You know, with those different ways that we've been serving and with the extension of waivers and things of that nature, what did your serving process look like? Just out of curiosity. Were you doing multiple days worth of meals or how did that work?
So, again, we served outdoors. We served indoors. We served grab and go. And typically that was how all of our meals went. We served on a bus. Some days we served one meal, some days three meals, some days seven meals, and, you know, breakfast and lunch. And, you know, one thing that I really want to call out about Jeffco that I am very proud of is from the beginning, we partnered with our nurses and our safety and security. So everywhere we were serving, there was a nurse there to answer any parents' questions. There was safety and security team member there to make sure our staff felt safe. We partnered with our foundation, and sometimes we would give out gift cards. They would put them in the bags, and we, you know, it was such a joy to sometimes get out of the silos we fall in and start working with other teams within the district that, you know, I can't tell you that I work every single day with safety and security. That wouldn't be a good thing. That would probably mean something bad was going on. You know, we were having a lockdown or something. So it was so great to work with those people and with the foundation and to partner with other food advocate groups. We had meetings with them regularly. It felt like such a big, family, just trying to do the right thing for our kids and our families.
Yeah.
You know, I want to chase the silo thing for a minute, because you mentioned that. And I think that that's where child nutrition fell in more districts than not, to be honest with you, nationwide prior to the pandemic. And now child nutrition has been elevated to an essential service that's provided. So what advice would you give to directors about how to maintain the prominence and the visibility that child nutrition has now been given? Because I'm always encouraging directors to go to the meetings, go to admin meetings, go to the principal meetings, you know, be a part of what's going on, just not in food service. And how can they do that better?
Absolutely. I have always been a big advocate of being at school board meetings. You need to know what's important going on in your district. While it may not affect you, you still need to be aware of what's being talked about within your district. As this went on, you know, I had the, you know, chief curriculum officer, the chief financial officer, people talking to me left and right about how we solve this problem. And that is so key to being successful in your district. One of the things that I am always an advocate on, you know, being from a big school district, is we have supervisors, and those supervisors have twice yearly meetings with the principals. We have to connect with that side of the house, and they have to hear from us, and we have to listen and hear from them. What's your challenges? What's going on? How can we collaborate? Principals now have my cell phone, and they just call me left and right, because as I was having to serve meals from their campus, we were talking two or three times. They just have my cell phone. So now they just call me, and, you know, it's just incredible the relationships that have come out of this, and I certainly don't want them to end. We need to continue on.
What do you think about managers participating in principal meetings? Because they are, you know, teacher meet, not principal meetings, rather. When the principals have their weekly or biweekly staff meetings with their teachers and whatnot, what do you think? Because a manager is an admin level person in that school. What do you think about them participating in those meetings?
I think if we can make that work, that is absolutely essential to a good relationship in your particular campus. It is essential. And good principals do that. So the challenge becomes sometimes they'll have those admin meetings, say at 7:30 in the morning when the manager's trying to get breakfast together. Yeah. It's always a timing issue. But when it works, and it works beautifully.
You know, over the past several months, and, you know, just to kind of go back real quick, so I'm curious to know maybe how your marketing has changed and just some different strategies that you potentially utilized over the past several months to really get the word out about the creative ways that your team was serving meals. And then are any of those strategies that maybe came out of the pandemic, are there any that are going to carry on into this upcoming school year?
You know, when you're in a large district, you usually have the benefits of big communication departments that can help you with a lot of your communication and your brainstorm. So we did have one new unique way to communicate that I'll mention at the end, but I think what we did was just start utilizing where we had all these tools, you know, newsletters, monthly push out to families, to the principals, emails that came up daily from the district. You know, we used Twitter and Facebook and all of these different ways to get the message out. You know, we have new partners now. So we now have churches that are getting messages out. We now have some advocacy groups that are messaging out, you know, our message to our families. But the one that I will tell you was very helpful and I think has also stepped up was the television media world. We had calls out on the television and I was just, that's not typically a resource that's at our disposal, but we were able to get that out there and it really made a difference in some of our communication and getting our messaging out.
And as far as, upcoming meetings and continuing to communicate with, and you mentioned with television, do you anticipate any of the, large group meetings that we hold annually, whether it's through School Nutrition Association, state conferences, and things of that nature, do you anticipate any changes in the way that those particular in-person style meetings will be held?
You know, we talk about this, as you can imagine, a lot in our SNA meetings and calls and whatnot. And, I do think you're going to see a change, but I do not think in-person meetings will ever go away. People love to connect, that they thrive on that connection with other people. And we miss that desperately. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are some, minor meetings that used to occur that now can be handled virtually. And I don't think virtual is going to go away. But I don't think you're going to see any of our major meetings or conferences ever go to virtual. Everyone's clamoring at the bit to get back to in-person meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that one. It'll be nice to be able to shake people's hands and say hello in person once again, as opposed to, a meeting like this. Uh-huh. When we're looking at a full career, looking at your career, looking at an individual's career, over the course of those careers and our journey in life, there's people that are influential and make major impacts on us over the years. Who is someone in School Nutrition Association or just in your life in general who's really impacted your career path?
Yeah, I can call out, a few names. Lena Wilson, Rochelle Sharon, Melanie Kanarek, Frank Misobny, Abel Campos was my first real boss in child nutrition, and I still talk to him today. And of course, my mother and my brothers and my husbands are all supporters and leaders and my sounding board. You know, those people have had very strong influences. When I go back to my colleagues within this, Lena and Rochelle and Melanie and Frank, whenever I run into a problem, they're the first people I call. You know, they're the ones that I'm like, okay, how do we solve this one? And, we'll just start laughing. Have you had this one? No, that's a new one. Okay, how are we going to solve that? You have to have those people in your life. Otherwise, I don't know how you get through successfully without those to hear about your successes and your failures, because the failures are just as key as any success you have.
And I think other people help you realize too that failure sometimes is a stepping stone to success. You think it's a lifetime event, and really it was just a moment in time that's going to drive you to something else better. But you need those other people to remind you of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And learned really along the way that it's how you handle those failures that speaks volumes about moving forward. You know, mm-hmm. you need to learn to handle your failures well. Doesn't mean you don't go off and cry in the corner and get it all out, but you have to handle it well and move forward. Yeah. Pick yourself up, get going again.
Well, I think that's such a great point, because when you have those failures, you really don't know who's looking at you and who, you know, sees you as an influence in their right. life. And, you know, there's always eyes on us at all times, whether we know it or not. And, you know, it's on that same kind of breath, you know, some people might look at you as a big influence in their life and in their career, with established and as accomplished of a career as you've had. What is the piece of advice that you might give to a child nutrition director out there as we look at wrapping up this year and heading into this upcoming year?
Wow. Piece of advice. I don't know. I hate to just say that I know it all, because I don't. A piece of advice I would say is be a lifelong learner. Be open to change. Be an active listener. You know, listen to what the person you're talking to is really trying to say. You know, sometimes some people articulate things very clearly, and others you have to listen so carefully to really understand what they're trying to say. And, you know, I wish I had gotten to this profession. You know, when I started my early career, I wandered through a few places, and, you know, I wanted to be Betty Crocker. I wanted to be Betty Crocker. And when I say that, my favorite classes were making jelly at Texas A&M or making wine, the wine class, or when we, you know, we had a dairy and we had to work in the dairy and the bakery. I loved all that. I wanted to be Betty Crocker. And it took me a while to get to the school nutrition. And wow, I wish I'd gotten here earlier, because it's a great profession. There are many challenges. There are days I have cried endlessly. But there are also so many rewarding opportunities here. And just, you know, be a lifelong learner. Continue to seek those opportunities that are out there for you.
Well, I'll tell you, I think child nutrition, and I've told, you know, you get a chance to talk to interns. You know, interns work at different districts. And of course, we visit lots of districts, and I've talked to interns, and you know, it's always funny how I say, what's your plans when you get out of college? And a lot of them will say, well, I'm looking at healthcare. I'm looking at this, because they seem to think there's a glamour to healthcare that really, you and I both know, is really not there. Uh-huh. And it's a 7-day a week, 365-day job potentially. And I've had lots of conversations with interns that have made the decision to stay in child nutrition that have now been in it for 15 or 20 years, directors at big districts, and they've came back and told me exactly what you just got through telling me, saying that it's one of the most fulfilling paths that they ever took, and they're so glad that they didn't go in a different direction.
Absolutely.
So let me throw a question at you on top of what Wes said. What advice would you give to a brand new director? They got the job in January, and and they're in this position. What are this? I don't want to say mess, but the situation that we find ourselves in. You know, what would you tell them?
What I would say is, you're a brand new director. The first thing you need to do is get involved with your state association and the national association. That is going to be your life support. That's where you're going to find your best trainings. That is where you're going to learn to be successful, for sure. You're going to meet your colleagues. You're going to meet other support members there. I would also recommend, and it's what I do with everyone that comes and works new, we have new supervisors, read those regulations and understand those regulations. They're boring, they're dry, but when you have that knowledge behind you, you are much better prepared to be that lifelong learner, to keep asking those questions. Why are we doing this? Why is this occurring? You know, to continue that learning path and to get to know your team, go in those kitchens, work with them, be side by side with them, ask their challenge. One of the things, if you know very much about me, I love making an employee's workspace the absolutely best workspace it can be. I love kitchen design and remodel. I love working in there because what I feel like, where I might be not be able to pay them $1 million to be in that kitchen, if I can give them a great work environment to be in, then I've done what I can to help support them out in those schools. And so that's why I believe in being out there and talking with those employees and listening to what they have to say.
Do you also find that new directors tend to think, you go back to that silo concept, do you think that new directors tend to think that they, that I find people reluctant sometimes to call the district next door and say, help, I'm stuck. Oh. You know, I find that to it's almost like it's an ego thing sometimes. I want to figure this out on my own. When right. You said earlier, you rattled off 4, 5, 6 people that are in the industry that you call all the time. And I mean, you've been in this business a long time. So
right.
Do you think that's important?
Absolutely. That's why I go back to, you're brand new, you're in a brand new state, say, and you know no one, get involved with those associations. That's why I said that. Those are going to be your colleagues that you learn to depend on and go to. And if you know any of those people, Bart, you know those girls were with me from the beginning in Texas, and I depended on them and just still to this day depend on them. So that is so key of reaching out to others.
Well, Beth, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate your time. And is there any final kind of closing comment that you would like to leave everyone with, or words of wisdom that you'd like to part on?
I don't know that I have any words of wisdom, but what I would part on is this has been an outstanding career. I love the school nutrition world. It's a highly honorable position to be in, and I can't think of any other profession that is better than this one. And thank you for allowing me to share my story today.
I have to echo that. I mean, I've been in the business 25 years and had all kind of opportunities to get out, but I love it. I joke about it all the time. School nutrition is kind of like the mafia. I mean, once you get in, you just can't get out. You
know? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, again, Beth, thank you so much for being on the show. Bart, it's great to see you as well. And Beth, we look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, everyone. Y'all have a great one. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we look forward to seeing you again next week at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.